Hello, everyone. I just had to sign the signal from upstairs, from Kelly, the projectionist. So, welcome to this session of the SA Film Festival, which is a collaboration between the ICA, obviously our friends here at the ICA, so thank you to them, thank you to Nico Marzano. But it's essentially curated and organised by Burt Beck Institute for the Moving Image, so various colleagues, Matthew Barrington, Laura Mulvey, Ricardo Matos Cabo, who's here with us today. And we, as I explained earlier on, we decided to have a focus on Mani Kol this year in collaboration with the Courtesan Film Festival and also in collaboration with the Otolith Group, whose film, in fact, we're also showing tomorrow, their latest film, third part of the third measure. So this is actually the last session of the Mani Kol focus. So we had a symposium yesterday at Burt Beck, where we showed Siddheshwari. Last night we had a good house for Uskiroti. And those of you, some of you may have been here for the previous session this afternoon, Matthew Manas, and then this is the final one, Drupad. So I just, if you haven't seen the festival program, we can make sure that at the end of this session we'll hand them out, and you'll see there's lots of other stuff going on, both at the ICA in the evenings. Tomorrow, as I say, we have the latest film by the Otolith Group. We have a Portuguese film called Luz Obscura showing here tomorrow night. We also have a special session on Vivian Dick, the Irish experimental filmmaker, on Tuesday. We have a new Brazilian film about May 68 called In the Intense Now. No Intenso Agora, I think, is it? And one more film, which has just gone from my mind at the moment, but someone might be able to help me out. Anyway, so those are the films at the ICA, with the filmmakers present, with discussion. And also during the daytime, if you look at the festival program, there are free events at Burt Beck in our beautiful little cinema at Gordon Square. So, you know, have a look, come along, you'd be very, very welcome. So just to move on then, I'm going to just introduce Ashvin Devasundaram, who's going to be presenting Drupad for us. So Ashvin, and we've just been chatting, we've realised that we have the future of a great relationship and a great friendship together. So we're going to be trying to do some stuff together at BIMI, we hope, next year. Ashvin is at Queen Mary. He's a film scholar, young film scholar, working on many different things, but working partly on Indian cinema. He's also a curator, which is great, and a filmmaker, he told me. So I'd like you to welcome Ashvin, who's going to just say a few words to contextualize the screening of Drupad, which I hope you'll adore. It's a 35mm print as well, so it should be really beautiful. Thanks very much. Ashvin.
Thank you. Good evening. It's great to be here at this vibrant and dynamic film festival. When Matthew asked me to introduce Drupad, I was instantly interested on several different levels. The first level was it gave me an opportunity to talk about a luminary of Indian cinema. The second thing was this is a film that's very close to my heart. And the third is that I'm a musician myself. I play guitar in a progressive, neoclassical progressive rock band, which is slightly different from the kind of music that you're going to see on screen today. But in the first instance, I'd like to contextualize or locate the films of Mani Kol and where he stands amongst this pantheon of early Indian filmmakers. In my book, India's New Independent Cinema, Rise of the Hybrid, I envision a ship of Indian cinemas. Why a ship, you might ask? I look at a ship because a lot of people conflate Indian cinema with a Bollywood behemoth. Indian cinema as this rather monolithic form, or it's either dichotomized into Bollywood or Satyajit Ray, with Satyajit Ray being the standalone signifier for the heterogeneous other cinemas of India. But after independence, and you saw the rise of, again, titans like Satyajit Ray, Mrinal Sen, Bimal Roy, around about the late 60s, we saw the emergence of what was called new Indian cinema or parallel Indian cinema, with great directors like Shyam Benegal and Mani Kol, Kumar Sahni, coming out of the film and television school in Pune, which was literally this fountainhead of burgeoning talent. And that's where Manikol kind of found his roots, more or less. A lot of it under the tutelage of Ritwik Ghatak, another famous filmmaker. So after locating Manikol, I'd like to talk a bit about Uski Roti, which is a film you might have seen already. But this is a film that draws from the Hindi classical literary kind of sector, where the playwright Mohan Rakesh was kind of very, very influential in Manikol, kind of coming up with that film. He was also hugely inspired by art and the paintings of several different artists of the time. But Uski Roti is a meditation on time and duration and elongation of time and space, where it causes you to literally sit and meditate on what you see on screen. After that, Duvida in Two Minds is a film that draws from this rich repository of Rajasthani folk culture and folk music and is redolent with, you know, this vibrant palette of color, and also draws its inspiration from Kangra miniature paintings. So I see Manikol as a true Renaissance man. He was such a polymath, drawing from the arts and from literature, but music was a huge inspirational factor, something that came to inspire his cinematic work. Right, it's worth mentioning that Indian classical music has largely been dichotomized into the northern form, which is Hindustani, and the southern form, which is Carnatic. Now, Carnatic tends to be a bit more ecstatic and exuberant, while the Hindustani form can be a bit more contemplative, meditative, and internalized. There's a lot of Persian and Islamic influence as well in the Hindustani form of music. So in Drupad, it's one of the most, it's possibly one of the oldest surviving forms of Hindustani music in India. And in the film, Kaul, who himself was an aficionado of Drupad and actually studied it, you know, takes this odyssey through a journey of discovery of not just the form Drupad, but also of the raga, which is, it's important to talk a bit about what a raga is in Hindustani music. Now, it's called the raga in Hindustani music and the ragam in Carnatic music, and it's sometimes anglicized as raga. But it's a musical phrase in the first instance. I'm trying to encapsulate what is a very complex kind of term. For example, in Western music, you've got do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And in the Hindustani equivalent, it's saregama padani sa. So a raga is comprised of a minimum of five notes. And there's a permutation and combination of these notes which fuse together to form a raga. But how's it different from Western music? I was thinking just today on my way to the ICA that the closest Western equivalent is the colletura in classical music, or the bel canto, where the soprano can literally take off on this wild spree of notes whilst keeping in mind the legato, which is the linear bass or the root of the song or the piece of music. So in a similar vein, the raga does the same. It just moves this way and that way. It segues, it glides and flows and ebbs and dives and does all sorts of different things. And you'd find a lot of that improvisation even in jazz music. But the thing that sets ragas apart from jazz is jazz music can change scale, whereas raga is kind of, it has to improvise within a set scale. It can't kind of breach the bastion of scale, which makes it even more challenging, but also more adventurous. And that's, for me, one of the main distinctions of raga from Western classical music. And that's one of the key things that Manikol tries to explore when he looks at Drupad, which is this ancient esoteric form. But interestingly, Kaul is trying to use music, cinema and light. In the film, you're going to see the camera glide and flow very poetically, because for Kaul, cinema and documentary film was about poetry. He actually conflates documentaries with poetry. I'd like to read to you very quickly a little quote in which he talks about the Drupad. And he says, "In Drupad, I tried to give a straightforward introduction to the music of the two musicians you see in the film." Now, he's talking about a family, the Dagars, who are the lifeblood of Drupad is carried in the veins of the Dagar family, and they passed it on through generations through this oral tradition. And in the film, we see two primary proponents of Drupad. So he says, it is music without notation. In a sense, it's not even possible to notate this music. It is too complex. There are continuously ascending and descending tones, like in a raga, and it's impossible to say that these tones follow this or that note. The tones are always traveling in the dissonant areas between notes. So interestingly, Kaul is more interested in the silence between notes, and he sees, transcendence in the interstitial spaces between notes rather than just the flow of music. I think that's another distinction from the Western canon of music. Another thing about this film is how it epitomizes how Kaul was able to transfer music or transpose his love for music into his cinematic approach. As the critic Shanta Gokhale noted, classical Indian music is to Manikaul the purest artistic search. Just as a good musician has mastered the musical method of construction, which saves his delineation of a raga from becoming formless, so a good filmmaker has a firm control over cinematic methods of construction and can therefore allow himself to improvise. Manikaul also said, lately I feel that it's becoming like Bergman, and I feel it's like a homage to Bergman, so I do it. Now, it got me thinking about the film Through a Glass Darkly, where Bergman is obsessed almost with Bach's cello suite, and you hear its sonorous refrain right the way through the narrative of that film. And it's the same with Kaul's obsession with Drupad. So, I'd like to end with a brief anecdote about when Kaul himself was learning the art from Mohiuddin Dagar and from his brother. So at that point, Kaul was sitting with Mohiuddin Dagar, and there was a group of students, about four students, and Dagar was trying to impart a pretty complex phrase of music to these four students, asking them to repeat it. And he then turned to Kaul and said, do you think they made mistakes? And Kaul said, yes, they very evidently made a lot of mistakes. So he said, right, why do you think they made mistakes? And Kaul said, I'm not really sure. And he asked Kaul again, do you think it's important? And Kaul said, yes, in such an intricate form of music, I'm sure it's important. But then the master went on to say, right, for me, it's not that they were able to imitate my phrase immaculately or flawlessly, because the key in the disciples' learning is in the mistakes. Because apart from the mistakes, the other part of the phrase was just an imitation of me, and that makes them nobody. But when they were making a mistake, they were individuals and they were somebody. And that is the bedrock from which we start to, teach them to hone their craft. So on that note, I'll ask you to sit back and enjoy this wonderful film and just immerse yourself in some of the sumptuous imagery, but also this ethereal soundscape that Manikaul has painted so richly on this wonderful cinematic canvas. Thank you.